Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't forget to check out Drunk Women Solving Crime on social media. You can find them on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime, where they are doing some regular Instagram live quizzes. Join them for the next one on Tuesday, the 21st of April at 8 p.m.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Drunk Women.
Drunk Women.
Drunk Women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
It must be such a culture shock to come from America, where everyone is super nice to you, to come to our two-bit island where everyone's a cunt.
Can you get athlete's vagina? Because I think something else is up.
That's called thrush.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to the very first remotely recorded Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello. Oh, wait, I didn't make a noise with clapping. Sorry.
It's going to be seamless, guys.
That's a nice segue. I am here unusually with only my sidekick detectives, Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
And Hannah.
Hello.
Hi. So I know it's a bit strange we haven't got a guest, but we thought, I mean, look, we're tech wizards, right? Like, there's no doubt about that. But as we get our heads around this, I think Katie called it what did you call this, Katie?
Brave New World.
It's a brave new world. We thought it'd be nice to get all cozy with just the three of us and have an episode.
What I don't like about this, though, is I can literally see how much of the bottle of wine I've drunk. So, you know, when we're together, I'm like, oh my God, the guest had some, Amanda had some, Taylor had some. And now I'm like, oh, bitch, you've drank three quarters of a bottle of wine already.
But also, what can I just say? What I do like about this is I can see all of you at once, and Taylor just did a spit take when Hannah said that.
What's a spit take?
You know, like she was like drinking and you made her laugh.
I did.
So we can see each other as well. That's the thing that we should tell you. You'll be listening, but we can see each other on the video. Yes. So I can see when Taylor rolls her eyes at me.
That's true. But what they can't see is that I'm not wearing a bra or pants, because why the fuck would I?
I've got a bra on.
You do?
A sexy bra, Katie was telling us earlier. Yeah, turns out it's just
black. It makes it sexy.
Hasn't
That's
got
dirty.
Yeah, it's not my PE bra.
Do you know what I've realised as well from this self-isolation thing is that I've given myself athlete's foot, but wearing slippers all day.
Oh, wow.
Like, that doesn't make sense, does it? That is not the footwear of an athlete.
It's kind of impressive.
Oh, it kind of makes perfect sense. Yeah, because it's all, you're holding everything in. It's sweaty. I get it.
Actually, yeah, it could be a stress-related.
It's just, it's fungus that grows from hot, warm places. You don't have to be an athlete, Hannah. You deserve it.
Can you get athlete's vagina? Because I think something else is up.
That's called thrush. That's literally the same fungus, I think.
It's all
candidia. Candidia.
I call it candida.
You guys candida. Know a lot about thrush.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, let's do this.
So funny, our producer was like, let's keep it snappy tonight. Let's make this a 40-minute episode. And we're already on thrush.
We very nearly named our daughter Candida, but we should. Right. I wanted to say quickly, some of you guys have really, really kindly asked if we have Patreon because you wanted to support us. And that's so, so sweet. We do not. But the best way you can support us is just keep listening. Let's all stick together during this time. And if you haven't yet, just give us a review or spread the word about us. That's the nicest thing you can do. Thank you so much for all the support that you've shown. And one more thing, we could use some more listener crimes. So please message us, whether it's on the socials or send us an email. We could use more of your crimes to solve. So thank you. Without further ado, it's time to ask you guys, have you ever been the victim of a crime? Weird.
This is very odd, Katie.
Oh, you want to start with me?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay. The one that I have selected to talk about is, like, couldn't be more mundane, because I have elected to forego all the penis crimes because we're saturated, sadly. So I'm not going to talk about the guy that wanked at me on the tube. Although I do have a great stand-up routine about that, which I never do now.
That's how you met your husband, right?
It's so weird. We just fell in love.
I guess that's one of the few good things about this pandemic is there's a lot less sexual harassment on public transport, presumably.
Do you know what? I was literally the other day, I was thinking, this must be hard on the muggers with less people on the streets. This must be hard on the flashers with less people to flash. What are they going to do?
Unless all the flashers all along were all like doctors and surgeons, in which case,
they are fine. They're absolutely fine because they can just harass the bravest people in the whole world.
You guys, I've been called out of flashing to go back to the front line. Oh, I love it. And I'm going to step up. Right. So, Katie, I'm excited. What is this totally mundane crime?
Okay. This mundane crime is called Katie Wilkins is a Dick. And when I shouldn't have named it that, I've reached the level of drunkenness where I'm just like quite apologetic. I'm sorry, this is not snappy. So basically, when I was a student, I went to Cafe Nero in Norwich and I bought a sandwich and a coffee and I put my wallet down on my tray and I carried it over to my table and I left my wallet on my tray. And then when I went, I ate my sandwich, I drank my coffee. When I went to put my wallet back in my bag, my wallet was not on the tray.
Oh my God. Do you think somebody took it, Katie?
Yes, I do.
Fuck.
What a twist. Thank you for injecting this jeopardy into my crime. I didn't see it coming because I was 19 and a prick. Yeah.
Oh, you're not a prick. You were 19.
I was 19 and I had £40 in that wallet.
Oh no, that's a lot.
Hannah, have you ever been victim of a crime? Now, by the way, if you did our Instagram live evening, you may have already heard these stories. Lucky you. Well, I don't know if Hannah, if you're going to tell the same one, but
yeah, mine is that I wasn't really victim of a crime, but it was a crime related thing that sort of made me laugh. So a few Christmases ago, we were all sat around the Christmas table and my dad said, well, for some reason we were talking about a flat we lived in London in the 90s when we were kids. What? Why are you laughing?
Just that Katie whooped it. You were sitting around the table at Christmas. Ooh.
I mean, these days, that's quite an exciting thing. Like, imagine seeing your family, man.
That's what I mean. It's so sad.
We were sat, in the halcyon days of about 5 years ago at Christmas. And we were talking about this flat that we lived in London. And we were like, oh, that was a nice flat. And my dad was like, oh, no, it wasn't. And we were like, what do you mean by that? And he said, oh, yeah, I just realized I never told you this. So we never told my mum at the time. But when we first moved in, he went round to the next door neighbours to just say, what was the chap like before us, before we moved in? And the next door neighbour said, we had a bit of trouble with him. And that's all she said. Turns out, serial killer. He was a serial killer that had lived there before us.
This is literally an episode of Inside Number 9. And like, was there someone in your bathtub? What is going on?
I know, this is the thing, like, because I'm not entirely sure who it was. So it was in like North London in about 1992 or something. And I'm not sure if my dad even knew quite who he was.
Oh, that'll be Jim. That was Jim.
Jim is a piece of work.
So did the murders take place in the flat?
Well, this is the thing that I don't know. And this is the thing that I think one of the reasons why he didn't tell my mum, because it's like, it was a cheap flat. And
Hey, your three children are safe.
I don't know. But like, would you now, if there was a cheap flat in London, but you knew that a serial killer had lived there, would you do it?
Oh my God, I would move in with a serial killer if I could get a cheap flat.
I mean, the thing is, London rules now are different to how they were in 92.
How do you mean?
Oh, because like Taylor said, anything goes. Fucking hell, like if you can get a reduction on the price but you're in fucking London, like no one can afford to live in London even with subsidies. It's a fucked up, like
that's how bad it is. I would ask questions. I'd be like, well, what kind of serial killer?
I remember seeing as well, so Dennis Nielsen, who was a guy who was quite a notorious serial killer who killed a lot of blokes, and he chopped them up and flushed them down his toilet. And the only reason that he got caught was because of the plumbing in his flat, which was in Muswell Hill.
Yeah.
And so a flat went for sale, I think it was last year in Muswell Hill.
Wow.
And it was the flat that he'd flushed like body parts down. Yeah. And so I looked at the Rightmove thing because it kind of went round. And at the bottom of Rightmove, it just said that customers are advised to research the history of the
Wow.
That's all it said.
I mean, like, also, it's like, surely.
Sometimes like, it's a wrong move.
But also, it's like new toilet, right? It's not the toilet he sat on pooping on while flushing people. It's like, he's got a new bowl in there. That's not
I don't think it's specifically about the toilet.
I know, but still.
They changed the bowl, right?
God.
I will tell mine very quickly. It feels so weird that we've never repeated anything, and it's only because we only had a handful of people on Instagram, but it feels weird telling this story again, but here goes. When I first moved here, my friend and I just had this evening where we're really homesick and in that really snobby way that Americans really excel at when they move abroad. I've now learned, like, we're just the biggest assholes. And we're like, I miss customer service and giant washing machines.
But you know what? If I had moved from America to the UK, I would also miss those things. Fucking hell.
It's hard when you're used to them.
Everyone is so rude in the UK compared to America. And your washing machines are huge. I totally get it.
Thank you. Thank you for the empathy. So we got like quickly depressed. didn't know what we were doing. So we did the worst thing you can do to quell a bit of homesickness for America. We're like, let's go to fucking McDonald's. We're like, yeah, we will. So we went to Mackey D's. We had tickets to go see a film, which we'll talk about later. And to just make ourselves bigger assholes, while we were eating our Big Macs, we decided to sing an old Big Mac jingle, which went to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. And somebody who remembered that jingle said if you sang it fast enough at a restaurant, you got a Big Mac free. And I don't know if that's true, but I would love to just go and try it now with no explanation.
You know,
to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles on a sesame seed bun.
You know that was never true, Taylor. Someone was watching.
It's April Fool's.
They're like,
oh, by the way, you guys, as we record this, it's April Fool's tomorrow.
Ooh. Oh, it is. God, I hate April Fool's. That's a different podcast. I hate April Fool's with Taylor Glenn. Oh, yeah.
No, Katie, we don't.
Anyway, sorry. So I now know that while we were making fools of ourselves singing this old jingle or being awesome, depending on how you look at it, somebody was stealing my phone. And what's funny is they created a diversion, but they really didn't need to. Like, they were doing this. Like, I sort of vaguely clocked that people were like bumping into each other to my left, but I was so into my jingle, like they could have stolen anything. So I discovered this, I was furious, and it was a cheap ass, like it wasn't, we didn't even have smartphones yet, like it was just a
was
cheap
it like
Nokia.
A burner, like in The Wire?
Yeah, you totally, it was my burner phone.
Because you're from America, where The Wire is from.
I love that the way that you tried to quell your kind of homesickness was to go to McDonald's, but actually what they took away from you was the phone numbers of all your friends and family and the way to contact them. It's just like, oh, fucking hell.
I was a nanny at the time. I was working for this really lovely family who had twin babies, and I had all these beautiful photos of the babies on my phone, and that's what I was the most upset about. Aww. Like, I remember that to this day. I was just like, oh, I didn't have any backups, and I'm like, still upset. Oh.
Did you guys hear my dog shaking the tail?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope it was your dog, or was it that black bra coming off? So, anyway.
See, that's how I know this bra can't be that sexy, because it's quite comfy.
The end of my story winds up, and look, I try not to blame the victim, but if it's me, fuck it. Like, I deserved it. I got diarrhea from the food.
Oh, no!
So we went to the movie anyway, but I had the shits, and the movie was Napoleon Dynamite, which is one of my favorite.
Oh, my God! Sorry.
Nobody in the cinema liked it. And I was so upset because I'm already like met with British culture, and everyone in the cinema was like heckling the film. They're like, oh, this is rubbish. What is this? And I was like, you don't understand.
Oh my God.
I know. It was a bad night.
That is such a shame.
I loved that film, but I didn't see it in a cinema because I wasn't cool like you.
With the shits from Big Macs and no phone.
I'm not cool enough to have the shits.
You had butt done. America. Right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, butt dynamite. Tina, you fat lord. Anyway, we're all fine now. It was the crime that made me. I'm a different person now.
I'm so sorry.
I don't
eat
at McDonald's.
I'm so sorry that my country was such a dick to you.
You're talking about not liking Napoleon Dynamite though, aren't you, rather than stealing her phone and giving her diarrhea.
No, I'm talking about everything. Like, it must be such a culture shock to come from America where everyone is super nice to you. To come to our two-bit island where everyone's a cunt.
Katie has given it some tonight. Wow.
But then I've gone to I've spent a lot of time in America, and I've spoken to my auntie's friends, and they're all obsessed with Princess Diana and Hobnob biscuits and Marmite and Abfab. And
they have
Bean,
almost all of them in my flat right now.
And they say to me, like, because they go, oh, I went to England and it was amazing. I'd be like, did you not find the people really rude compared to customer service in America? And they would say no, because in America, everyone is fake. Like, it's fake customer service. They want a tip. They're being nice to you to get a tip. At least in Britain, it's honest.
It is a lot more honest. And I don't know. I could bang on about this forever. But I'm so used to it here that it's too much for me when I go back. Like, the customer service, they're kind of way
too fake.
I'm like, oh, it's just too attentive. I'm like, I don't need any more water. Oh my God. But it's really in your face too. Like there's just stuff I never noticed. Like I'll go back and people will be like, yeah, so how much do you pay for your apartment in London? Right. Like, people are just really brazen about stuff.
Yes.
People my age will still ask a question that no one does here. And I never realized how dick it is. They're like, hey, what college did you go to? What college did you go to?
Wow.
And it's how some people like rank each other. Yes. I'm like, we are adults. Stop
the hierarchy.
It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
It's amazing.
Anyway, guys, are you ready to solve some true crime?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Let's do it. This true crime involves the last fatal duel to take place in a certain country.
Ooh.
I just realized, because we're talking about culture, that I say fatal duel, but you guys must say it in a much nicer way. Can we get the British pronunciation?
Fatal duel?
Well done, Hannah. Done us proud.
Spot on. That was Manchester, guys.
Is it duel? Duel. We'd say duel.
Like duel, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Taylor said. That's a lot different.
Fatal duel. I think it's a little different.
Fatal duel. New York okay. duel.
Fatal duel. So my first question, this is the last fatal duel to take place in a certain country. What year do we think this is?
Okay, so I got to tell you, I'm picturing Dogtanyan. And yes, I mean Dogtanyan the cartoon. Not the original guy that wrote it during the thing, the guy.
Was that one of the Three Musketeers or have I gone mad?
Yeah, the Musketeers. But okay. The guy, what was his name? He was like French, but he was like...
Katie, I'm going to need a year.
If we were sat next to each other, she would have just squeezed your leg by now to just say, Katie, come on.
It's so sad. Oh, God. I'm like, this is how drunk I am because I really know who this guy is. And he's like mixed race and he gets quoted in loads of stuff. I want to say Alexander Dumas, but that can't be his name.
So what year is this, Katie?
I'm going to go, let's say 1800. It's not.
1800?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We got there. We circled back to it. I have to say circled back because we're in a conference call. Hannah, this is our first question.
Okay.
Please say a number.
Well, you see, I'm an optimist as well. So I think that, you know, although it was the last fatal duel in a country, I still think there might be more to come because we don't have enough duels these days.
Oh, it could be a non-fatal duel, sorry.
Oh, is it a fatal duel though?
Yeah, this is the last fatal duel.
Exactly.
There might be a non-fatal duel that happened after.
Yeah, so I think probably, I reckon like, I'm going to go 1912, pretty much when the Titanic sunk.
Well, Katie is the closest. It was 1833.
Wow, after all
Yay!
That.
Now, I'm going to give you a little bit more info. It involves someone called Robert Leon and John Wilson, and it takes place in the town of Perth. So where do you think we are?
We could either be in Scotland or Australia, right?
Go, Hannah.
You're going to my Perths.
Neither.
Because some would say I'm perfect. Guys, I'm just going to log out. This hasn't worked.
Hannah. Neither of those is correct, I'm afraid.
Oh, Hannah, there's Katie, another Perth.
There's another Perth. Katie, what cartoon does this remind you of?
Dogtanyan, I've already said.
Do you know any more Perths?
No, I genuinely thought there was two Perths in Hannah and named
well,
them.
So did I. In fact, I probably only knew the one. We are actually in Upper Canada.
Oh, my God.
In the region, which is now known as Ontario.
Oh.
So, yes, bit of background. We've had a lot of people from Canada say, do a Canadian crime. And this probably wasn't the one they had in mind, but it's what I chose.
And now it's like, yeah, look, guys, we know nothing about Canada. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on in the time. So Canada at this time is still under British rule. And it became self...
Never.
It became a self-governing dominion in 1867.
Wow.
So 30, 30 some years after these events take place. Now, the town of Perth has an interesting social hierarchy happening, just to sort of set the scene. It was populated by a combination of military personnel who had fought in the War of 1812, and then immigrants who are from Scotland. To put it in very blunt terms, all the military people were kind of regarded as like, these are the ones we respect. They're these high-ranking officers.
Okay.
The Scottish people mostly came from rural areas, and they were kind of like, they're the everyman, right?
Okay.
They're sort of like the humble folk that have come over.
Okay.
But that is indeed why it's called Perth.
It's called Perth because of the Scottish people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's like,
yeah, a lot of, we've got these two parts of the town, a town divided, and we have two men who are from both sides of the town. I don't know how to put it, the different sides of the tracks. So we've got John Wilson. He's 23 years old, and he's originally from Paisley in Scotland.
So he's Scottish.
He's Scottish.
Thank God you're here, Katie.
And then,
you're welcome.
Oh, when we do these, I cannot keep anyone straight, especially when they're just called like John.
John Wilson, know? Scottish Paisley, underclass in this hierarchical Canadian society. Continue.
Nice.
Yes,
John
Casey.
Wilson. Good summary.
I told you I'd be good after my wee.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
So his family had moved to Canada in 1823. They were humble country folk. So he's sort of our average John.
Okay.
If you will.
I'm on his side. Continue.
You might stay on that side, but let's see. Let's see. And then we've got Robert Leon, who's 20 years old. He is the son of also Scottish, but an officer in the British Army.
Ooh.
And he was described as a handsome athlete with aristocratic links.
Wow.
So two very different backgrounds.
I mean, okay. If these are two like Tinder profiles, I know who I'm going for.
Who are you going for, Hannah?
It's Leon. Is he called Leon?
You're going for the officer, son.
Yeah, damn right. Didn't you hear? Good looking.
Athletic.
Yeah.
I'm going for the salt of the
earth. So were they friends? Were they friends?
They could be friends because actually they're both from Scotland and officer class and underclass might have had to mix if they're all in the army and it's olden days.
And it was maybe, was it a small town? Was Perth quite a small town in those days? So you might have known everyone.
Yes.
I think they were probably really, really good mates, actually. Maybe like BFFs.
Okay, I'm going to go with they fucking hate each other just to be different.
They were BFFs. They were very close friends.
That's what I said first, and now Hannah wins.
No, it's okay. You're both winners all the time, all day, every fucking way. They were indeed friends, and they are both law students who are both studying under a prominent barrister.
Okay, and now this is like Better Call Saul.
It does have that feel. What was the reason?
Sorry, that was my dog.
That was to her dog, not me.
Just so you know. Sit.
Sit the fuck down, Taylor.
Please. Sit.
Good dog. What was the reason for the duel?
Oh, well, it could be anything. It could be one of them trash talk the mother of the other one. It could be. It's going to be trash talk, right? It's going to be trash talk. I've seen Hamilton. I'm basing everything on Hamilton.
That's fair. That's very fair. That's a really good guess. Trash talking.
Were they like, if you're a law student, like it would be good if you got to make your own law. So they were like, let's have a really violent duel and then say, this should be against the law. This is horrible. Look at it. There's children.
They had
watching.
To prove it first.
There are women watching. This is, we've both got our penises out. This is awful. And then suddenly it's law and it's like, Jonathan, what are their names?
Yeah. Jonathan Wilson.
John and Robert.
John and Robert's law.
Yeah. You're spot on. This really is the end of the case. Well, the reason for the duel was actually a woman.
Of course it was. Aww. Was it me? Yes,
it was you, Hannah. It was you.
I'm actually a bit disappointed.
Timeless Hannah George.
But is it a sexy lady befuddled them both?
It pretty much is Katie Wilkins. Okay. Do you know a lot about that?
Yes, because everyone's in love with me.
I think they actually are, and you just don't know it, and that's why everybody loves you so much. Okay, the woman was it's bad to drink by yourself. I think that's what we're learning. Is this why they say don't drink alone?
I mean, I'm enjoying it, because you just said I was lovable. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, it's fine. So the woman was Elizabeth Hughes. She was a school teacher from England, and she was a bona fide hottie, guys. So who falls for her first? Our average
my guy, my average dumb upper? Guy falls first. He's pure of heart. He falls first. He's the real.
Okay.
We should, as much as women are trophies, he should win that trophy.
Yeah. And then Robert, I think he saw that the other guy had something that he wanted and he was
boo, Robert, boo. He's the rich bad guy.
Oh, you guys are clever detectives. That is spot on.
Yes.
We've all seen Braveheart.
So John Wilson falls madly in love with Elizabeth, but she does not reciprocate. He's so humiliated that he leaves town for a while, but he asks his mates, like, can you keep an eye on her and see what's going on?
Oh, it's because women are property. Okay, now I don't like John Wilson anymore.
Well, now it's 1833.
Now I'm team whoever this whore is.
Whoever this whore.
I'm joking. You know what I mean.
I know you are, but it's so great. That's a t-shirt. Team whoever this whore is. Okay. So enter a third party in this whole story.
Ooh.
He's a smooth operator and a general troublemaker named Henri Lelievre. I'm just going to call him Henry because I don't want to do that every time.
And that's
and it was wrong.
It's easier for us. Henry, okay.
Totally.
Well, bon
my accent was atrocious. Yeah, so Henry is really good friends with Robert. He's like the bad boy in the story, right? And he's like, come on, let's both go on a date with her.
He's Stifler from American Pie.
He is totally fucking Stifler. He is. I was literally thinking this, which is kind of strange that we both thought that, but I love it. He is Stifler. Ugh, gross.
Everyone's on board.
God. So they both go on a date with her, the two guys and Elizabeth. Now on this date, this triple date, Robert is seen to put his arm around Elizabeth in a, quote, a position which no woman of spirit would permit.
Ugh.
Word gets back to John Wilson, who's absolutely crushed.
Who's spying on her, sure, yeah. So his mate's like, yeah, you know that chick you want us to spy on? We saw her doing something. That's it. Continue. Sorry.
No, it's fine. That's what this show is we talk, so it's fine. We love you, Katie. He writes a letter. He writes a letter to his friend saying that Robert should be confronted for his behavior, and Robert replies directly to him saying that it was all just a joke to make him jealous. Like, get a sense of humor, John. So John returns to Perth. A fight ensues between the two men. Robert punches John to the ground, where blood pouring from his face, John begs him, can't we just work things out peacefully? Robert says no. So John challenges him.
You're crushing this.
I know. Thank you. Challenges him to a duel. That's really hard to say when you've had a bit of Sauvignon. Challenges him to a duel to maintain his dignity. Now, the duel is set for June 13th, 1833. It's a cold, wet morning on the outskirts of town on what is now known as South Street. I have no idea why I wrote that down.
Just in case there's anybody wants to go and visit South Street.
If any listeners are on South Street in Perth, Ontario, let us know. So I'm going to ask a question. Who kills who in this duel?
Well, it would be more scandalous if John kills Robert, because John's lowly and Robert's important. So that would be more of a story.
Also, I'm sort of like, literally, just up until about now, I think I've got duels and jousting mixed up. So up to this point, I thought they would I was like, but who would have like one of the long sticks? It's not that far back, is it?
No, it's pistols at dawn. Mate, you got to see Hamilton. They stand back to back. They pace forwards. They count to 10. They turn around. And then they have to, whoever shoots each other the quickest.
Right, one of them dies. Is it one of them? Because you'd be more like, I mean, does everybody have a gun in Canada? Canada feels like the non-gunny America.
The military in 1830 are going to have guns, yeah.
Well, but that's Robert, right? So
No, they both are. They're both in the military. One's the son of an officer and one's the son of a lowly guy.
But what's the lowly guy in the military?
They're all trained in combat and they all have guns. But it's a duel, so they definitely have guns.
Yeah, they've got guns. I love that you thought it was jousting, though. That has made my day. That is great.
Canada is so polite.
Yeah, they could just like, I think they should just do slaps. That would be better. Like, did you ever use like slaps?
Just like really witty put downs in French.
Hannah G, what's your guess? Who kills who?
I think that Robert might have killed John.
Okay.
That would still be a scandal, because then it's like the officer's son killed this nice guy. Sorry, continue.
Before we reveal who kills who, let's talk about dueling. I mean, you guys started to ask some questions about it. So number one, it's not jousting. It's different. Now, dueling, even though it's illegal in a lot of places, including Canada, at this time, it still came with a really strict code. So do either of you know, where was the dueling code established?
America in Hamilton.
Was it like the Wild West or something? Because I feel like it's that sort of got that sort of vibe to it.
You've
got to
have
maybe
a doctor. He has to turn around. So he has plausible deniability and it rhymes in a way that I cannot do. And
those are excellent, but very wrong guesses.
Oh, no.
Established in Ireland.
Wow.
Yes, this is really fun stuff. It was known as the Irish Code Duello.
Wow.
And it consisted of 25 rules. And originally I was going to read them all out, but they are confusing as fuck. And they are so wordy. Like, I wish I could go through and edit and be like, no offense, guys. But you could take out some words. But it's crazy. It all has to do with who insults who first, okay, and then what happens, what's an acceptable retort, when you have to apologize. So it's about so much more than just turning and shooting.
You know what, though? When you consider what my aunt just did with her will, that makes sense that this is Irish rules.
Do you have to have a duel for who gets it?
No. But like the personal slighting and the reprimanding, I have an auntie that just did this amazing thing, and I met up with Grania, who was a previous guest, and I was telling her about it. And she went, is that the Irish side of the family? And I was like, yeah. Sorry, continue.
I love that. No, I like it. So rule 10 is the one that applies the most to this case. And it goes like this. Any insult to a lady under a gentleman's care or protection to be considered as, by one degree, a greater offense than if given to the gentleman personally and to be regulated accordingly. Like, that is a shitty sentence. Yeah. I don't care what year it is.
Yeah.
But it's basically saying that insulting a woman is a greater offense than insulting your enemy in the duel.
Insulting a woman owned by someone is a greater offense, but yes.
Well, yes. That wasn't even needed because it was understood. The other thing is that when men would duel, they'd often have what's known as a second. So this is another man.
That happened in Hamilton, sorry.
Jesus Christ. You know, this is kind of a sensitive area because we were going to go to Hamilton and now everything live has been canceled. It's okay. I'm learning about it from you. Right.
I'm going to stop mentioning it now. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's hilarious that that's like the fourth time it's come up. The second is the man who's there to help them follow the fucking codes, basically. So it's like somebody who's reading the map while they're trying to drive. So John has a friend, Simon, with him. Who do we think Robert picks?
Him?
Ooh. Oh, Robert will pick his mate. What's the name of the mate?
The big dick mate. He'll pick him.
Henry. Spot on. So now we have this like upstart character who's there to sort of like control things, but he's not a great pick for it. So according to a surgeon on the scene, a first shot was fired by each man, but they both missed. At this point, both Robert and John wanted to reconcile and end the duel, but Henry, the hot-headed friend, insisted that Robert reload his gun. So if it hadn't been for Henry, this wouldn't have ended in any deaths.
Oh my God. I hate it. You've got that one mate that always like just takes things too far. I always remember I was in a club once with this guy. It was a school reunion. He was quite frightening. And I always remember him saying like some bloke bumped into him and spilt his pint. And I was like, oh, just leave it. And he turned to me, took off his watch, handed it to me and just went, hold me watch. And I was like, oh my God, he's just literally going to get into a huge fight now and he doesn't want to break his watch. And he's done that enough times to go, hold me watch. And that to me was like, oh shit, what is he about to do? And then eventually it didn't end in a fight and they just laughed it off. But it's basically like having that guy with you who's kind of like,
that guy, probably a descendant of Henry. Let's face it. Hold me watch. Oh, that's such a great line. Oh my God.
That's what the British Stifler would say.
Yeah. Briffler. So here's what happens, guys. They reload their guns. John sees Robert reloading his gun, so he scrambles to reload his. Robert levels his gun at John, but John fires first and hits Robert in the lungs, killing him instantly.
Whoa.
So who turns John into the authorities for this?
Henry.
Oh, it's not a little prick.
It's Stifler Henry.
Is it Henry?
It isn't. It's not Henry.
Elizabeth the lady.
Oh, that's a good guess too. Henry actually flees the country because he's like, oh shit, look what I've caused. He flees the country and he's never seen again. He goes off to Stifler Town and makes a bunch of little Stiflers. John turns himself in. He's so racked with guilt that he can't take it. So he turns himself in and the case goes to trial. John acts as his own lawyer.
No.
Wow.
Come on, dun, dun, John.
Dun. Go, John.
What's the verdict?
Oh, I forgot that he has a law degree, though. So that's kind of like, okay.
Yes.
Not that. Well, I don't know how they felt about manslaughter in those days. So like guilty, but maybe accidental. I don't know.
Do you think that if you were like a lawyer and you act as your own lawyer, what if you don't act as your own lawyer? That's sort of like, I mean, have some self-respect. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, I can just imagine these female lawyers being like, oh, I don't think I could. Like, you need to.
Hate like when surgeons don't operate on themselves.
Well, that's genuinely illegal, but you can represent yourself. But that would be so sad.
Look,
there were loads of women going like, oh, I'm legally qualified, but I guess I shouldn't. Like, that would be so sad.
Hannah George, what's your response?
I guess he's found guilty because he's done it, but.
Katie, yours was guilty?
Guilty, but like manslaughter and not like put to death or
a lighter charge.
Yeah.
Okay. So John's self-defense is so passionate and convincing about how all these events went down that he is acquitted.
Oh, wow.
Good old.
Yeah. Canada. They're like,
he just really loved this girl that he really fancied and spied on. Just let him go.
And they make Elizabeth just go up to the stand, like, don't speak, just look like yourself, and they'll get it.
Yeah.
So what happens next for John? John gets married. Any idea who John marries?
Is it Elizabeth?
It's fucking Elizabeth.
Oh, wow. Oh mate.
The woman who found him so boring and unattractive and turned him down suddenly thinks he's kind of a hottie because he's talked himself out of a prison sentence and he's killed the guy who felt her up by shooting him through the lungs. I mean, who hasn't been there? You're like, I didn't like this guy, but then he shot a guy in the lungs and now it's like, phew.
And also, didn't this guy just put his arm around her? He didn't actually do anything.
I know, but in that day, I suppose that was a big old deal.
She probably really fancied Robert. This is like this little stalker that's... Anyway, continue, sorry.
This is a real fairy tale, isn't it? This is lovely.
It is a bit. Listen, it gets better. John goes on to be a successful lawyer. They have a big family, a happy marriage, apparently. Eventually, he becomes a judge of the Superior Court, and he's elected to the Legislative Assembly of the Province of Canada.
Wow.
So it's happily ever after for the average Joe character. And the pistols from the duel are still on display in the museum in Perth, Ontario. So here's to one of the three towns of Perth, as far as we know.
And
the last fatal duel.
Cheers. My drink is empty and I just feel sorry for Elizabeth.
That's probably the best she was going to do. Yay.
Yay.
Drunk women solving crime.
Okay, guys, listener crime.
Okay.
This is great. This is from Iona on Gmail. This happened when I was about 6 years old. My mom woke up in the morning and went downstairs to the living room completely naked, as you do when your children are in the house. So I already love this woman. She sat down on the sofa and noticed a man crouched behind the door smoking a cigarette. Her instant thought was that it was an old family friend who'd popped by to visit. They have such an interesting life. Like, I love, like, they have to be in Cornwall or something. Like, this is not London. This is, anyway. So she says, "Oh, hello, Glyn." Oh, no, there's a clue. That's Wales, isn't it? Hello, Glyn.
Oh, Glyn, yeah.
We're in Wales, right?
That could be Wales.
I love this.
And they're always naked in Wales, always, in the morning.
They're always nude.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Whew, this is why I don't go back that much. So much family naked. She then realizes that it's not Glyn when the man quickly ran out of the living room and shut the door. Mom, not willing to let the strange man escape, grabbed the other side of the door and tried to open it. A battle ensued, and Mom managed to prise the door open before tackling the strange man to the ground, still naked.
Wow.
She started shouting, "Robber, robber," at the top of her voice, but my three big brothers upstairs chose to ignore her shouts, assuming she was having epic sex with my dad, Robert.
Uh-oh.
I don't even care if that's not true because it's so funny. Eventually, my dad and brothers caught on and came downstairs, and the man was chased by four grown men in their boxers. So the police arrived, and the guy claimed that he thought it was his mate's house. Nothing had been stolen, and the only damage was a trail of cigarettes and a fridge knocked over in a bid to get away. We never found out why he was there. So I guess that's our question to answer. Why was this strange man smoking a cigarette in a house that wasn't his?
That's a great question. I mean, there was, I mean, how, no, that's really rude. But I'm just thinking like, I don't know, because the difference between a guy's, like, a guy's mate's house and like a house that's obviously inhabited by like, what, four children. And I mean, how old were the kids at the time? Like, because he'd probably walk in
it
there.
Sounds like, she sounds like the youngest if she's six, and then the brothers are three older brothers.
Oh, because they sort of chased him out. But I like the idea that they're like 8, 9, and 10, and this guy is still like, I'm going to knock over this fridge to get away from these children.
I just love a world where a mother just doesn't give a shit and goes downstairs naked and then tackles a guy.
That is a nice image, isn't it?
It's great. It's great, whether it's Glyn or not. Maybe it was Glyn and they didn't like Glyn. It feels like somebody who's just like high and just comes into a house.
Yes. Yeah.
Just because you do stuff and then you have a cigarette.
Genuine mistake.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
I think this is a quirky little possibly Welsh town. It's definitely West. I feel like we're West. We're generally in that direction. This is where people keep their doors unlocked. This is a friendly little town where a woman can go downstairs naked and this guy's just drunk or high and he's just wandered into the wrong house and had a smoke That's what it feels like to me.
That annoys me more is the fact that he was just smoking inside this person's house. Like, that's annoying.
Isn't that awful? Mm. I know. Isn't that awful?
He didn't ask for an ashtray.
I know. That's so rude, isn't it? Oh, that would really bother me. I don't know if we've tackled this one. Kind of tackled itself with the three older brothers. Hmm. It's hard. I really do. For some reason, I'm like not defending this guy because Katie, quite right. Ashtray was not asked for, was not used. Very rude. But I feel like it was just a confused man who wandered in a house. But
Why was he crouching, though?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I've done that when I'm high. I just make myself very small.
Crouching Welshman, naked mother.
Have you crouched high in someone else's house, though?
I don't think I need to answer that question. My lawyer present. And my lawyer is John Wilson. Right, guys, this has been really nice, actually. Just the three of us. Yeah. It's really hard not getting to grope your legs like I normally do, but maybe this is good for all of us that I can't. So thanks, we've been the drunk women. Brave new world. And we'll be back next time with a special guest. So thanks very much for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.